You're listening to Higher Ed Social, the podcast, and this is episode 3. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan.
And this week, we brought on someone outside of who we've talked to in the past. He was in higher ed. Now he's kind of out of it because he's studying it. We talked to Mike Venturiello this week, who is currently earning his master's degree full-time at the University of Buffalo.
One of the really awesome things about this episode is that we kind of go a little beyond higher ed. We talk about it a lot. We talk about silos and all that kind of fun stuff, but we also talk about networking as a young professional and, you know, what it's like to be the new kid and all that kind of fun stuff. So, it's definitely a great conversation that we had.
Yeah. It's something that I could relate to too, you know, as a young professional, slightly biased. Mike and I did attend undergrad together. But we had a really great discussion with him about where he's going, what he's doing, and what it's like to be the new kid on the block. So we hope you enjoy listening to episode 3 of Higher Ed Social. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're here with Mike Venturiello over in Buffalo. And Mike's going to tell us about his time, I guess, being a young professional. So, Mike, you can probably give us your little, like, mini, like, hey, I'm Mike, like, intro. And then we'll chat. We'll just talk.
Okay. Thanks, Jackie. And thank you, Logan and Jackie, for having me.
Duh.
Yes, I am Mike, and right now I am working at the University at Buffalo in New York as the student programming coordinator in our Intercultural and Diversity Center. But before that, I was a full-time hall director at Clarkson University and decided to come back to grad school and work in this position currently.
That's exciting. Res life.
Res life right at heart.
Love res life. What is your like best res life story, like best student related incident? You can change names if you want.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about this. I was talking to my sister who is applying for colleges, and I was telling her about the hook that you need in the college essay. And I remember writing a personal statement for grad school about why I wanted to do what I do. And my hook was my favorite res life story, which always involves vomit for some reason.
Yes. Gotta love bodily fluids.
Yep.
Does this remove our clean rating, Logan? Because
we do have
a clean rating on iTunes.
As long as we don't have cursing, we're good to go.
Oh, good. So even though vomit's involved, it's technically clean. Hooray.
I'll try my best. So it was my first year as an RA, and I remember hearing something. I was in my room. I was on duty, 3 a.m., the typical, you know, usual scenario. And I hear something. There was a stairway right outside my door. So I opened my door just to kind of see what was going on. And, of course, there's this girl clambering up the stairs with some guy accompanying her, like crawling on her knees, basically, stands up. And then proceeds to projectile vomit all over.
No way! And you had to watch it happen?
Down the stairs, up the other staircase, like all over. So then I proceeded to shut my door to avoid vomit on me because she was right outside.
Oh my God.
And long story short, I called, you know, the necessary people and got her the help she needed. But the reason that this story out of all is because that was really the first time that I felt like I potentially saved a life that night, as crazy as that sounds. But they did have to take her in an ambulance. And now looking back, it is relatively funny, but at the time, a little scary. But I think one of the things that makes res life and student affairs in general so rewarding.
If you can use the word rewarding to describe that experience, I applaud you because... I don't think I've ever had to like shield myself from projectile vomit in my life. And so,
well, I have to say
for you,
I have to say that's probably one of the most, important reasons to be in higher ed, I think, is to know that you're making an important impact on student lives. And that's something that you don't really think about sometimes, especially when you're, you know, in the thick of things. But, you know, in the end, and I think that's why a lot of us are in higher ed, is because we're here to help students. I mean, that's kind of what we want to do. They're in a transition phase in their life. You know,
For sure. They're
going between being at home and being safe and being with family and being on their own, which is, I think, you know, academics is incredibly important because we get them ready to go to job, you know, to do, you know, jobs, their careers, all that kind of fun stuff. But at the same time, I think the two most important things that we help students do is think, like they learn how to think more so than just studying and, you know, acing tests and all that kind of stuff. But also, they learn important life lessons in a somewhat safe environment, where they can make mistakes, where, you know, people that don't go to college.
Projectile vomit down stairways.
Well, we'll say that particular student, say that had happened to her and she was not in college. Would someone have called an ambulance for her? Probably not.
That is a good point. Yeah, you do learn about that type of the bystander stuff pretty quickly in college, I think.
I
know how much you deal with that.
I think that's important. Learning those kinds of life lessons is incredibly important. I don't deal with them. Well, I do deal with them some. I do social media in marketing so, and communications, but at the same
metaphorical
time,
metaphorical vomit.
I have to say, you know, I've helped students. I've helped students get the people that they need to either continue in school or that kind of stuff. You know, like a student will post that they're, you know, crying in a parking garage because they're going to have to leave school. You know, I respond back and with the university account say, what's wrong? And, you know, they respond back and 99% of the time I can send them to someone that can help them and that can fix the issue that they're having or at least make it a little better. And, you know, it gives you that upwelling, happy, warm feeling inside. And it makes everything
kind of like happy vomit coming out of you.
Well, it makes,
I'm just going to talk about vomit the whole show. Sorry, friends at home.
It makes the stuff. It makes the stuff that you deal with every day, the minutia. It makes it worth it. It really does. And whenever I'm having a bad day, I go back and I think about the positive impact that I've had, and I realize, hey, you know, this is worth it.
I'm doing a good thing.
This is what I do. It's my job to help students, and that's a thing. And I think you have to think about that no matter what you're in, whether you're in, I mean, student affairs, obviously, but even folks in admissions, folks in development. I mean, development raises the money that makes students able to do the stuff that they do, whether it's building buildings or student life programs or, you know, any of that kind of fun stuff. From a marketing and communication standpoint, you know, helping students know what's going on around campus, what their opportunities are, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, you just have to, I think the core of what we do is remembering that we are here to help students. And that's a great feeling. I mean, it's a warm, happy feeling. You're serving somebody, as our president likes to say. And what he says is, you know, once you, well, actually he quotes Colin Powell, and this is me not quoting it very well, but essentially Colin Powell.
You have all this memorized about your president, Logan, I'm going to say.
I've heard a lot of
stuff. I don't know anything about any president, really, past their, like, name and what they look like.
Well, we have one that's very, he likes to talk about this particular thing a lot, and I've heard it a lot, and I believe in it, and it's part of the reason why I'm where I'm at. I'm at Belmont, and why I love being at Belmont is that he believes, and this is, like I said, a Colin Powell quote that I'm badly misquoting, is Colin Powell said, you know, the greatest gift in life is the chance to serve somebody, right? That's the greatest gift in life. And if you're serving someone and you're making a difference in their life, you know, what you're doing is not so much of a job anymore as it's your life and you love it and you do it. And that's what makes it worthwhile. And, you know, I really think that, you know, whether we're an RD, whether, heck, if we're an RA, you know, even at the bottom, if you're a desk assistant, you're
at the bottom. Hey, we are not at the bottom.
Hold on.
Back up.
Well, bottom of the reporting structure, at the very least, the organizational structure. If you're a desk assistant, you're probably below an RA, but that doesn't mean that you can't make a difference in someone's life. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I feel like, I think you will probably preach to that too. Just now that you're earning your master's in higher ed, is it student affairs higher ed? What's the technical?
Technically mine is higher education administration. My master's degree so far has really been, a very transformative experience in terms of what education can do for a person, which is something I had not seen previously. So I think going on to, receive a doctorate at some point would be, something that I might be interested in at some point, but later on down the road.
Well, one of the interesting things about that in higher education, even if you're not like in, even if you're not in a situation like, being a professor or something like that, having that advanced degree is the key to moving up.
I guess a big thing too, Mike, is that you graduated from your undergrad and then moved right into the working world, which I can also relate to that. But tell me about that process for you and what you experienced, especially I think a lot of hope. Well, I know that some of our listeners, you know, have been working in their positions for a long time and maybe don't remember what it's like to be like the new kid on the block sort of thing. So what was that process like for you?
Yeah, great question. So I think it depends. wherever you are, people have different experiences. Because even being 1 year into the field, coming to UB, having that 1 year at Clarkson under my belt, I still feel kind of like the new kid on the block, so to speak, because most of the people I work with are mid-level professionals or in their early 30s, whereas I am a younger professional, entry-level position. So I think there's a lot of different ways you can take it and understand it. But I think for me, the reason I decided to go into the workforce was because it's a different way of learning and one that I was more interested in, I would say, as opposed to a classroom setting. So in any kind of new position, higher ed, student affairs, or anything similar, I think for me, the main goal is just to learn more, to learn that something that you can't get out of a book. Whether that's, you know, observing coworkers or taking on new projects or being a part of certain committees that you might not have had the opportunity to experience before is one way that I've kind of found my niche, in Clarkson or at UB even, because I think it's really great to do your job and do it well. But I also think it's really great to kind of go above and beyond and take on additional roles or additional tasks. And for me as a young professional in the field, it's a good way for me to kind of explore what I like and what I want to do. So if you were to say, okay, Belmont, you know, 2016, I would probably say no, thank you right now, because I don't know what I want to do in 2016 when I graduate. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking on, you know, additional responsibilities that are outside of my bulleted job description to help others, to help other student affairs professionals with their projects, but also to help me maybe determine what are some things that I want to do after I graduate.
Yeah, that's like super important to remember, either if you're a listener and you're in, you know, a position similar to mine or Mike's, like you're just graduating or you recently graduated and you're moving into the workforce, or on the other side, kind of you've been there a long time, you're used to where you are, maybe you've been there 10, 15, 20 years. Like we're still trying to figure it out. Like we have no idea what we want to do, you know, as 20 somethings, you're expected to like pull your life together at 18 when you enter college. Like what? That's insane. Like I did dumb things when I was 18. And so like, I still am doing dumb things. Let's be real. And so you definitely have to like figure it out. I mean, I think, you know, similarly moved from higher education out slightly outside of it now. Like I didn't see myself doing that at all. And Mike, I don't know if you saw yourself going to get your master's after a year at Clarkson. I don't know if you saw yourself there for a while, but yeah, definitely figuring it out. I don't know, Logan, if you ever had to like figure it out, or I feel like you are like diehard Belmont. So I only picture you at Belmont.
Well, I agree completely with you as far as going above and beyond what you do. I think for anyone in higher education, branching out into committees, outside of what you outside of your normal job description, while usually they have something to do with your job description, is incredibly important. I, for one, are on multiple committees that are outside of what I do. I've been on the staff advisor council for the university. Almost every university has something similar where staff have a small council where they get together and they work on things like professional development and stuff like that for the rest of the staff. I think that's incredibly important. I think that if you're in a position like that, pushing for specific kinds of professional development, like, for instance, giving people the ability to work outside or to shadow someone outside of their immediate department is incredibly important. And if your school does that, you should do that, because even if it's just a day of shadowing somebody, that could give you so much understanding of how things work at a university. Because sometimes, and I've said this so many times before, silos can be great. And we all know about silos. Silos are, you know, when departments work within departments and people don't peek out.
Individual departments don't talk to each other.
You know, to understand how the entire university works gives you two things. Number one, it gives you the ability to see what happens outside of your world. And number two, to understand what other people are doing outside of your department gives you leverage and understanding when you're working with that department. So, you know, when you're trying to understand what's going on in, say, admissions, and to work with admissions later, I mean, if you understand what they're doing and the things that they go through every day and everything like that, you can work with them better because you understand how they go and you can relate. And I think that's something that we lack sometimes, is we don't relate with each other. I mean, that's actually one of my dreams for this podcast, is that people can understand what other people do outside of their, you know, little worlds. I'm a big believer in breaking silos and working with everyone. And considering what I do, I kind of have to.
That's what this podcast does.
Yes.
We're going to make everyone love each other.
Well, that's kind of what we want to do. That's what we want to do.
That's what we're going to do. It's going to be great. Thanks for helping us heal the world, Mike.
I think it's not just about doing our jobs better, but also building relationships with each other so that our jobs aren't better, but the universities that we work at are better.
This is where we should play some like patriotic music in the background, Logan. This is where you're like on your soapbox of like,
sorry,
fix everything.
I did get on a soapbox there.
Everything is going to be perfect in life.
So what exactly, what's your specific area of study with your MED? Like are you going for a particular speciality? Is it just, you know, straight student affairs? Like, what do you want to do your research on? Have you figured that kind of stuff out?
Yeah, so our program, it's more of a general just higher education degree, and we're going through some transition right now in terms of academic structure, where our program, instead of a thesis, we have comprehensive exams right now, which may or may not change. I'm not really sure, so I can't really talk about it. I'm not sure. So we actually don't have to do a thesis in terms of research, and that kind of thing. I mean, I have my own special interests in higher education that focus specifically on gender, and like how that affects students' well-being in colleges and LGBTQ support services. But in terms of writing a thesis for my program, that's not as prevalent, I suppose.
You do get the chance, though. You said you're working in a specific department on campus. So is that something that you were kind of just placed into? Did you get to select that department? How does that work?
I did. So it's a really amazing opportunity at the University of Buffalo, and they have a fellowship position where they have two fellows every year, which it's a full-time position, but it's also a full-time graduate student, and it's a temporary two-year full-time position while this student is studying. But they also, in addition to paying us, we have vets and tuition and all of those things. So it's a really great deal. I feel like I'm getting the best of both worlds. I'm getting the full-time experience, but I'm also getting full-time graduate work. And how the selection process works is there's the application and the interview, but then because it's a student affairs fellowship as like a general whole, you're basically given an entire list of all the departments within student affairs, and you rank your top. I think it was your top five. And then based on their need, where they need a fellowship position for the next 2 years, it's a 2-year contract. Based on your interests, based on what they're looking for, then they kind of match you up. And if it's a good fit and a good pairing, then that's how they place you. So I was fortunate because the Interculture and Diversity Center was my first choice. Cool. And they needed someone there for these next 2 years. So here I am doing that. I mean,
we know that you picked that department just with like the potential to like travel the world. You can say it. Basically, can totally say it.
I mean, I am going to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
March.
What's going on with that? That sounds so awesome.
So through my position, actually, so you are speaking a little bit of truth with that idea.
My kid, folks at home, like, it's not that selfish of a person.
No. There are other benefits, obviously. But so I do get the opportunity to travel, not just through conferences and things like that. I will also be attending NASPA, the National Student Affairs Conference. And this year it's in New Orleans, which is really exciting. I've never been there before. But actually, the week before New Orleans, there's like a 1-day layover. But the week before that, I will be in the Dominican Republic teaching English for the week through our Center for Student Leadership and Community Engagement, which plans all the alternative break trips. So as a student, but also as a full-time staff member, I have the opportunity to be a team leader and work with the team leaders in that way. So I will be going to help with that trip. So that's happening in March over spring break.
That will be awesome. We'll have to catch back up in a different podcast. You can podcast live from the Dominican Republic.
Live from the DR.
Yeah, that'll be so cool. Is that something that you could see yourself doing down the road, or is this kind of just like a, I mean, it's an awesome experience that I would take, you know, no matter what.
Yeah, so kind of going back to, you know, you never really know what you want to do and where life takes you, but one of the paths that I have been contemplating is teaching English abroad for a longer time as opposed to just 1 week. So looking into different programs and maybe teaching abroad after I graduate for a year or two or extended time. Who really knows? Nice. But it is an option.
I'll come. Please. That sounds good. I can podcast from co-teaching. Wherever. It's cool.
Absolutely.
I'll take it. That's fine. Is that okay, Logan, if I travel? Traveling podcast?
Sure.
Does that work?
As long as there's an international connection.
Higher education.
Yeah. All I need is the internet and a microphone. That sounds great. That's awesome. Congratulations. But you are probably, I was going to say, loving, because you've been traveling too, now that you're in another new city, comparatively, from Clarkson to my hometown of Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York.
How's that? I mean, I have my own stories about moving, as I just moved out to your hometown of Albany, which is hilarious.
Yes, we did a little flip-flop.
We switched. But how is, you know, I can tell my own stories about dealing with traveling to a new city. We actually talked to Todd a couple weeks ago about what it's like to travel. So what's your opinion on settling in a new city?
Yeah, moving is hard. Moving is hard.
That is
But I think I'm fortunate because I had a lot to move for. So when I came to Buffalo, I wasn't thinking about leaving home or leaving my job or leaving the friends that I had made, but it was more of an excitement of, wow, I have this new fellowship position. I have this new job. I have grad school, which I was surprisingly looking forward to just because it was something that I was interested in. And I think just the potential and the excitement of meeting new people and making new friends. I think, you know, there's always that transitional difficulty in terms of making those connections and meeting those people. But I went to school, like Jackie, at Geneseo, and then I took a brief hiatus from the Western New York area and went to Potsdam, but to work at Clarkson. But it feels really nice to be back in Western New York, I must say. The Rochester Buffalo region is, just really great. And I've been building a professional network here, and it's nice to continue that. And it's just kind of, I think, a symbol of how small this field really is, being back in a totally new city, like one that I've never really been to before, you know, never worked at. But a lot of people that I do work with now are already kind of a part of my network through, you know, 6 degrees or a degree of separation. So
it's weirdly small.
So how are you building your professional network? Like, what are some of the things that you're doing to make connections in a new city?
Yeah, that's a great point. So one thing that I like to do, they have mixers with different regions. So like Western New York, Central New York, that kind of thing. And the ones that kind of caught my eye are the CISPA, New York State mixers. But I'm sure they have like other regional conferences or regional associations that put on these different mixers for the different regions. So they'll do that between Buffalo and New York. They'll usually just do like a happy hour, those kinds of things. And it's nice because you see people that you already know. So Jackie and I went to one and we ran into each other there. But then I also got to meet some other people as well, some other new coworkers and new friends too. So that's one way. But another way too, and something that I have just started doing over this break, is doing informational interviews with people in the network or people that work at UB or even other institutions. So kind of on that track of, you know, not really sure what I want to do, not really 100% anyway, is just talking to people about their journey and how they got to where they are and what they do. Because I think a lot of higher ed, you know, talking about being siloed, they might not see 100% what's behind that curtain. Mm-hmm. They think that, you know, this office does a certain thing, and that's true, but there's, you know, the other 90% of the iceberg that people might not see. So I think there's a lot we can do as a field, but also as an individual, to kind of take that into our own hands. So that's one thing that I've been doing, is just talking to more professionals in the field. And what's really cool is it kind of networks itself. So I might be talking to someone in student activities and say, hey, I'm thinking about student activities. Tell me about your position. We could have a great conversation. And they could say, oh, but I know this person at RIT. You should connect with them.
Nice.
So it's kind of this like spiraling effect, which has been really kind of cool to see.
Actually, I think that's really amazing that someone so new, I mean, professionally to higher education, is doing something that people don't normally do. I mean, that's actually pretty amazing that you're doing these kinds of things to professionally develop yourself. That actually makes me smile.
You are developing as a human and as a small egg. You're developing as an egg.
Well, I think that's
soon you will crack
you.
The egg and fly free into the professional world.
Yes.
As cute and funny as that is, I do think that I think it's really important, because sometimes when you start a new position or you start something new anywhere, the first thing you want to do is clamp up in your little shell and try and do your job the best that you can, which is a good thing. But I think at the same time, when you think, well, I'm here now, I don't have to do anything to further develop myself and my career, I think that's a mistake. I think you should always be trying to do better, to further yourself. I mean, that's incredibly important. If you're going to move up anywhere in the world, whether it's higher education or anything, you know, that's key. Building people, knowing people, understanding what other people do, and using those connections once you make them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. One of my mentors, I was just talking to her the other day, and one of her key phrases that she likes to remind everyone is the keep in care of your references. And I think it relates to your connections. So making sure that you keep those connections, keep those people that you would rely on, hopefully for references, but keeping the connections, but also maintaining them and caring for them and making sure that you're checking in and seeing how they're doing and letting them know how you're doing as well. I think that's really important. And I think kind of going off of what you were saying, something that especially young professionals might not see as important, but I think it's just as important to maintain those connections as it is to make them in the first place.
Right.
And, you know, it's never too late to start doing that. Even if you're not a new employee, you can start doing that. You can start doing it. And you can start building those connections. And they don't just have to be people at other universities. It doesn't just have to be, you know, people specifically what you do. You know, you could talk to somebody, you could have coffee with people at your school that are in different areas, or a school nearby, or, you know, not even in higher education. You can make connections with people outside. I have to say, you know, from a marketing standpoint, I do marketing. Knowing people outside of higher education is great, because it gives you fresh ideas and a fresh look at ways of doing things. And that's one of the things about higher education, is sometimes we can all be the same. And being able to find ways to differentiate our universities and what we do is sometimes a good thing. Not sometimes a good thing. It's always a good thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So in January, everybody makes all these like resolutions, and we asked Dave Tyler to do this. And so if Mike, if you have like a personal or professional 2015 resolution, as you move into the second semester of grad school, figuring it out, do you have a really awesome resolution? Or you can just make one up if you don't want to like tell your actual resolution, because I would probably do that. So,
okay. So I should have known this was coming because I listened to this podcast with Dave. That's okay. I should have thought about it. I do have resolutions. I have both professional and personal.
You can share
and
either.
I'll share both. Okay,
go
great.
For it.
Or either.
Both are
so
either.
I think like one way to sum it up is balance. I think that's something that I'm constantly working on, is balancing not just professional and personal, but finding like what works for me in terms of different types of balance and different activities. And it's interesting in higher ed, because I feel like just when you think you are perfect at it, and just when you think you perfected it, you get a new job or you take on a new responsibility, and it totally, everything you know is totally out the window. And that's what just happened to me in this past summer when I moved to Buffalo, was that it wasn't just that I was working full time and then at 5 o'clock, you know, with the exception of nights that I was on duty and res life, I would go home and then have all the fun things for me and watch TV and read for fun and all these things. I don't necessarily have that anymore, because I get done with work and then I have class, or then I have homework to do. So I think in the spring semester, which coincidentally is the new year with all these resolutions, one thing that I would like to do is kind of work on that balance a little bit more between work and grad school, but also just me as a person.
Smart.
Yep, that's a solid resolution. That's definitely one of mine ever since the last podcast. I've decided I'm going to do more stuff with my family and myself. Going to run a half marathon in April.
Kapow!
Hey. And also, I would like to play more video games. If that is the oddest, you know, New Year's resolution to have, but I'd like to play more video games, because they're a really great stress reliever and they're a lot of fun. And another
You're
thing
you have to
is
de-stress.
I'd like to read a few books too. That's
read.
Another thing. I bought I bought 6 books.
One for each of your cats.
One for each of my cats.
How
yes.
many podcasts can I mention Logan's cats? We haven't seen any in this video, which is weird.
Which the viewers at home can't view
can't
anything because they're listeners. But
I could like make this up. I could be like, oh my God, all of Logan's cats just jumped on his face. It's crazy.
There they are.
Mike sees it too. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know. I think my resolution, I just got a cat, much like Logan has 6 of them. I have 1. So my resolution, I think, is to learn how to take care of cats, because so far she has, you know, adjusted. We'll use that term. Oh, I can say the word. She's vomited twice. So that's where we're at with the cat. She's currently sleeping next to me, though, so I think I'm doing okay.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Mike. It was really, really awesome.
Thanks, Mike.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
This is where we roll the music, if it hasn't rolled already.
Thanks to everyone for listening this week. If you're listening for the first time, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on iTunes, and you'll get all our podcasts like once a week, every Wednesday, and it'd be awesome.
And you can also hit us on Twitter. I'm Jackie Vetrano. This is Logan with a U. And you can tweet at us or visit us on highered.social.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.